Welcome to the teaching ministry of Heritage Baptist Church in Ashland, Ohio. Each week we bring you expository preaching straight from God's Word. Our goal with each teaching is to provide rigorous truth with relevant application. And now, here's Pastor Mark.
I'm not sure exactly when I'll be teaching in Sunday school this series, but Ben and I talked about this. Well, actually, I was just telling him about a book, Doctrines That Divide by Erwin Lutzer. And he said, why don't you teach that in Sunday school? And I thought, okay, that sounds like fun. We'll do that. And one of the topics of division is over God's sovereignty and human responsibility and that spectrum. And I thought, like, I'm not ready yet for any particular year-long series like we were doing on discipleship, so I thought I would teach on this morning just on Habakkuk. And it will deal with God's sovereignty and human responsibility together. But you're going to see that the prophet Habakkuk, who we know nothing about other than this letter that he has written, this prophecy, that he's really struggling with God's sovereignty. I mean, the fact that God is not doing what he wants. And we probably all can relate to that on some level, and so we'll talk about that. Now, if that sounds anything like another book of the Bible you're familiar with, Job, you know that Job struggles with the very same thing, and his friends give him really sometimes good advice, but it's not the right advice, not the right application to Job. But Job is struggling with it, but his issue is dealing with his own suffering, whereas Habakkuk's issue is dealing with his culture and the world, or, you know, and Judah and his nation. And so in that struggle, he sees a problem with God. Why are you doing this based on your whole character and who you are? And Job is going, God, why am I suffering? So they're different, but you're going to see some overlap probably along the way here, and you're going to be able to make some connections, I hope. I hope you're, like, well-read, and you've read Job. You're familiar with Job. You should see some principles that will overlap, but we won't get into Job really at all. So you just keep your mind on that as we go through this. One other way to start this off as well is all the prophets, they are messengers from God, not just to tell about some future things, but primarily to say, this is how you're messing up. Because on Mount Sinai, when they begin the Mosaic Covenant, and the people in they go together bilaterally with God, we talked last week about covenants, and so in the Mosaic Covenant, or we would also call the Old Covenant, they made the deal with God that they would be his people. And he's like, if you will obey me, I'll bless you. If you disobey me, I'll curse you. That'll help you to understand the Old Testament so much. If you understand that basic covenant with the people of Israel and what the prophets are doing. So the history books are telling how the people of God are just messing up. And then the Psalms are coming, or the wisdom literature, like the Psalms, are coming along to show us, generally speaking, what is the wise path and how to walk in the ways of the Lord. And then the prophets come along to say, here's where you got off track. Here's how you need to repent and get back to this. Because if you don't, here's what's going to happen. So that'll help you, that background will help you understand a little bit about Habakkuk. And I'll bring this up again, the blessings and curses. But that's what's going on. So let's read the first four verses together, Habakkuk 1:1-4, and then we'll dive in. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. Let's look to God in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these minor prophets that have no minor message, but a very powerful and important message to your people of old, to your people in the early church, to your people in 2026. Lord, may we humble ourselves in your sight. Lord, may we be submissive to your sovereign will over all that is happening throughout human history and even in the little tiny days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Habakkuk is a good man. We don't know anything about him other than here's his message. He desires to seek justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. He is a contemporary with Jeremiah. They are in that time period when Israel, the northern kingdom, has been sacked. It's gone. It's been wiped clean. The Assyrians have come down and taken over. And Judah stands alone. Now, some refugees have fled from the northern kingdom, and they now have been absorbed by the Jewish people. Later, the Canaanites will be absorbed by the Jewish people as well. But that's a whole other story and another history lesson far in the future, which we're not looking at today. But you have Judah stands alone, and they have some good times and some bad times, depending on who's king, depending on who's leading. Habakkuk, he wants a righteous nation filled with God's blessings. If you obey me, I bless you. If you disobey me, I curse you. He wants for his nation to be godly and righteous and to walk in the Lord's ways. He wants the blessings of God to be poured out on God's people. It was in Deuteronomy chapter 11 that Moses wrote, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God." If you remember back in Exodus, the people said, "We will do it. We will obey you. We will go forward with this covenant." Have you ever wondered, though, like Habakkuk, as we read down through those four verses, have you ever wondered why God allows all the sin and evil in this world? I think we probably all wonder it and have no understanding as to why. I mean, the scriptures reveal some things to us that God is magnifying and glorifying himself both in his grace, transforming people, but also in his justice and his judgment and his condemnation when he punishes people or nations. Have you ever struggled the way that God is dealing with sin in the world? Maybe you don't think about it at all. You just got to get up and go to work the next day. Would you like, unless you're scrolling on social media, as we talked about this morning, and seeing all that's possibly happening, or that at least someone's imagination is creating, would you like to change the circumstances of your life and the world around you? These are things that Habakkuk would be saying, yes, 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 I want to know these things. I want to understand. I don't like the culture right now. It's really bad, what he was describing. But here's the real question. Would you speak frankly with God and air your grievances? Would you be willing to talk to God and say, "God, I don't like what you're doing. Why are you allowing evil?" That's not blasphemy, but it is a serious talk that needs an approach of humility. But Habakkuk is going to the only one who can answer. So, I want to give you just a quick overview of the book. And this will stand out. Usually your Bibles will tell you who's speaking. It'll put some headlines in there. Or you'll just be able to tell. It's pretty easy to tell when it's Habakkuk versus God. But here's the general flow of this book. Habakkuk will speak. We already read it. He is worn out by Judah's sin. That's what's happening in that section. You're discovering that he's not happy. Then God speaks. God's going to answer. And he's letting Habakkuk know, I have a plan. I have a solution to the problem. Here's what it is. And then Habakkuk speaks because the solution is a horror show. It's not the one he wanted. He had something else in mind, I think. And we'll see what that could have been. And then God speaks again, and he says, Habakkuk, trust me. Just trust me. You've got to trust me on this. And that's a lot like what he says to Job. Job, do you really know me? Do you know everything about me? You're going to have to trust me. And Habakkuk finally then, with all of that information, he just prays to God. He just worships. I think this is the thing that's important for us, and we will see the principles of it that then help us in the world we're in. And they can take us over to the world of suffering as well, not just cultural and social evil and unrighteousness, but into all of areas of our lives to see the things that will transform us when we're not really happy about what's going on. So in verse 2, we already read, but again, Habakkuk says, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help? And how will, and you will not hear? That's pretty strong, doesn't it? I mean, would you say that to the God who created you and gives you life and could just say, be dead, come into my presence. O Lord, how long shall I keep crying for help and you won't listen to me? You're not hearing me out, God, or cry to you. There's violence over here in the streets. There's violence over here. And you're not saving anyone. They have idols they've raised in the high places to false gods. People are being treated unjustly. And he describes a violence that's happening and how the righteous that do exist, the remnant, is surrounded by the evil and nothing is as it should be. And his cry out here is, his grievance with God is, you're not doing anything about it. Where are you, God? He wants things corrected and he wants them right now. But God has his own timetable. God is working at his own pace. And you could look at this and you probably want things solved really fast if you could. If you could have your way, you would have America changed, wouldn't you? Or Ohio. You'd really change some things in the country. And what you might be met with is the same thing that Habakkuk is God is basically saying, look, I am way more patient than you'll ever be. You're going to have to trust me. I have patience, and I am long-suffering, and I have a plan. Trust me. Habakkuk then says, why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Because in his mind, God said that he would curse if there was disobedience, and that he would bless if there was obedience. And there's all kinds of evil going on, and why are you not even doing anything about it? Why are you looking idly at it? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. See, here's the thing. Habakkuk knows that God can do something about this in a way he would really like. In 2 Kings 22, the scriptures say that when King Josiah heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, and Achor, the son of Micah, I might be mutilating their names, and Shaphan, the secretary, and Asa, the king's servant, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. The king has been faced with the scriptures that had been lost, and he humbles himself. He falls on the ground, in essence, here to say, God, have mercy. Get all the people and start reading this. Everyone needs to hear this because we're in big trouble. Now that's Judah's history. It's back and forth. Bad king, good king. Bad king, good king. One leads them astray. The next one finds out what God really thinks. And he humbles himself and he seeks God's mercy. So I think in the mind of Habakkuk, he's probably seen this show before. God, why aren't you doing anything? God, where's the awakening? Where's the revival? Where's the transformation of your people? God, come and rescue us before you really bring anything bad upon us. We could have a famine because of all this. Your curse upon us could lead to disease and pestilence and all kinds of torment. God, please, what are you doing? Why aren't you operating in a way I think you should operate? And again, when we get ourselves in that mindset, God, why won't you do things the way I want? It's always better to step back and fall down and say, God, do whatever you want. That's how you brought me into salvation. That's how you converted me. God, you are God. I bow to you. You're the king. You're the Lord. You're the owner. You can do whatever you want. You're the potter. You can shape me into anything you want. That kind of submission is where we're supposed to. That's the aim. That's the goal in our spiritual growth. Habakkuk wants his nation to be righteous and holy. He wants shalom. He wants peaceful and thriving lives. He wants it to be a great place where God is lifted up and exalted and worshiped. I can relate to that in a modern context. We're not Israel. We'll never be Israel. Israel is gone now. Biblical Israel. The Israel that Habakkuk is speaking to, Judah. The United States is never going to be in a covenant relationship with God. That's not going to happen. We're not going to look at it in the exact same ways, but in principle here, I'd sure like to raise kids and see grandkids and great-grandkids flourishing, to live in shalom, to be in a nation that's peaceful and thriving and is able to freely worship Jehovah God, to bow before Christ as Savior and Lord. So I can relate to this. We want a culture that agrees with us, right? That they say the same things that we say is wrong, they say it's wrong. That a culture that fosters our social values. What Habakkuk desires, what I desire, what you probably desire, is it's not bad. We want righteousness to characterize the culture. But it's a fine line for the desire to become an obsession for a utopia. I wonder if the enemy would prefer us to chase utopia than to be about the mission that Christ has given us to be on. One of my early pastors had made the comment that he said, you know, Satan, using the metaphor that Paul uses, he's like a roaring lion. He's out prowling about, seeing who he can devour and eat. He said, you know, the lion, this probably was a story from even further back in church history, but anyhow, the lion can roar to do one of two things, to either scare you and make you flee away from your position God has given you, or to chase him and to hunt him down and try to kill him, to try and make things a better place. I wonder if seeking to make everything perfect is actually a distraction from the real mission that you and I are given to steward. As Paul said, I've been given this stewardship of grace to deliver this message and to tell it to you. He was writing to the churches. There will never be a utopia until Christ returns. It's not going to happen. It didn't happen for the New England states when they were colonies. And they wanted to implement all sorts of religious rules within their government. It didn't happen then. It won't happen today. It won't happen in the future. But it will happen when Christ plants his feet on the Mount of Olives and he transforms this world in his kingdom. And then ultimately, we'll see later. Now God's going to speak. So that's Habakkuk right now. He's got a problem with his country, his culture, and his nation. What does God want to say to Habakkuk? Look among the nations and see, wonder, and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that's the Babylonians, that bitter and hasty nation who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. I wonder if what Habakkuk thinks. Wait a minute. I remember Assyria. I remember Israel, the northern kingdom. Wait, God. I was thinking a little something more like King Josiah. This doesn't sound like this is going anywhere good. He wanted national repentance, I think. Do you think? I think that's probably what he wanted. He wanted the blessings of God to restore Judah to greatness. But God had a plan to purify his people another way. God has a plan to purify you. Do you want that way? Do you pray for it? God, help me grow. Transform me. Spiritually mature me. I want to be like Christ. Shape me and mold me. Do you know what that might mean? What trials you might have to go through for that? That's the part where I go, oh, I don't even want to preach that and say it because that might mean tomorrow's going to be really bad. It is not easy to accept the other way. God doesn't need to consult us, and he knows what is best. Spoiler alert. Judah will go into captivity and return to the promised land with their idolatry purged from their culture. So God is going to solve the problem. That's the thing. What Habakkuk desires, a different culture, a different social experience for him and his family. God is going to purge it on his own time scale, at his own plan and purpose. It's all going to work out. And the Jews, after Babylon, never again had a problem with idolatry. That is not a problem of theirs. They will jump all over even a hint of worshiping any other god whatsoever. God has a plan, and he is going to work it out, and it happens to be the Babylonians. Here's some of the things that we got to jump through this quickly. Some of the things that the Babylonians have, some of their just the evil of this people. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. In other words, they decide what's just. Want to live in a world where the leaders think they determine and define what is justice? No thanks. Here's some more. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. They don't just lay a siege. They build an entire ramp and come right up and over and into the nations, and they defeat anyone in front of them. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own might is their god. What do they worship? Themselves. Their powerful military. I don't know what it would be like to be the president of the United States, or to be one of his advisors, or to be a senator, or anybody at a level where you know things and you decide things. I wish that they would memorize the minor prophets, and well, all the prophets. They need to hear. Anyone, if you're Josh, maybe someday will be a politician, who knows? Where did he go? Oh, there he is, there he is. I would want to know, what does God think about how governments work and how nations are blessed or how they are cursed? I would want to know when he's going to bring judgment on them and why. And I would not want to have an attitude of how great am I because I have such a powerful military. They're not nice people, the Babylonians. They're horrible people. I think it's safe to guess that Habakkuk was looking for a transformation of the nation in a way that would happen with spiritual renewal and people getting right with God and coming back to the temple and sacrificing with true hearts that love God and seek him. Not this. So Habakkuk speaks. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? we shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O rock, have established them for reproof. He sees and he understands this. All right, God, you're going to deal with us through the Babylonians. Okay, so be it. But I just have a little problem, though. It's the Babylonians. You are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong. Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? God, why take somebody more evil than we are and wipe us out? This is the internal human struggle. The followers of God, of Christ, will struggle with, am I going to really truly submit to every single detail? Or do I think maybe I could add, could I give some input? Could God just seek some counsel for me just for a little bit? I let him know how my life should go, or how the life of my city, my state, or my country. Habakkuk speaks this, and he says, you make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. So God, you've created us, like here we are in this metaphorical ocean. He brings all of them, the Babylonians, he brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet. So he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet, for by them he lives in luxury and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? I will take my stand and my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Okay, here it is, God. I don't see why you're going to let this happen. Here's my grievance. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to wait for you to tell me. Because when you reveal to me what I need to know, then all will be well. God speaks, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. Look, we're having this conversation, Habakkuk, so that you can write this all down, so that when people hear it, when they read it, make the writing plain, make it easy to understand, so they can run, and they can keep telling and spreading this message everywhere. Here's what I, the Lord, will do. Here's the thing that's amazing about this, is that God is still patient and merciful to Judah. There is still time to repent. They could repent. They're not going to, but they can repent. God goes on to say, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. So, prophecy happens on God's time schedule. His speed is not our speed. His goal is not likely. It is likely not our goal. But the righteous will live by faith. In other words, when God speaks and when he reveals to us about his world and what he's doing, we just trust him. I can't answer why and wherefore, but I do know who is in control of human history. And I know he's worthy of my trust. And so whatever he's told me to do, that's what I'll do. And what he told me to do was to read the scriptures, was to pray, was to fellowship in a church body of believers, and to share the gospel, to spread the good news. That's what I need to know. And so, if the world is going to have a halftime show that some people are getting upset about, whatever. The culture is always going downhill, and it's coming back up, and it's going downhill. It's going all over the place. Whatever. I know what I'm supposed to do. The just shall live by faith. God spoke, and I will act based on that. I'm going to finish this up here. I'm not going to get to all my slides, but I want to bring this into an up-to-date, a modern context here for you. And to do so, we're going to use something that was written 2,000 years ago, right? That's what, if you're dealing with the Old Testament, at least just jump to the New. And then we're going to close, and I'll give you some questions you could ask. And I'm going to leave out a bunch of really cool slides. But anyhow, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 4. It's going to sound real familiar to Habakkuk. Knowing this, so Peter is writing to the churches. There's false teaching. This is getting towards the end of the apostles' lifetimes. And false teaching is becoming a huge problem in the church. And so Peter's describing these bad teachers. He says, knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. He is full of patience. If God wasn't full of patience, he would have just wrapped it all up at Adam and Eve and said, no, this isn't going anywhere I want it to go. But it is going exactly where he wants it to go. And everything is happening according to his plan. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? So in other words, if it was Habakkuk, what he would have said is, okay, my fellow Jews, since God's bringing the Babylonians in, what kind of people should you be? He could at least say this to the remnant. Look, we can't stop what's coming. The nation is just godless as can be, and God has a way to purge the sin. So what kind of people should we be? What should we be doing? Well, they should be sacrificing. They should be going to the temple. They should be praising God. They should be singing. Very similar things to you and I, though we're in a new covenant. And Peter's just telling him, look, church, don't get discouraged by false teaching. Don't get led astray by false teaching. God has a time plan. He has a schedule, and he is bringing this all right to his close. And he won't be late. So since all these things are going to be dissolved, since this world is nothing worth building up an empire on, what kind of people should you be? What should you be achieving in your life? Waiting for and hastening the day of God, the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The good news is you should be filled with happiness and hope. The whole culture might be just going right to hell around us. It may be something that just makes you vomit when you turn on a TV or a computer or your smartphone. You may not like it. But here's the thing, is that God is going to purge out this sin. It will be gone, and you will dwell with him forever in his presence. And you will live in shalom. There will be peace that cannot be understood in this world. And you will thrive in a whole new place, in a life that is everlasting. Oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Do not delay. The just shall live by faith. And Habakkuk says, Lord, I've heard the report of you at the end of his prophecy. I've heard the report of you and your work. O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. What he sees is that, God, you've got your plans and you're going to do it just like you said. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to pray. God, remember mercy. God, make your name known. There can be more remnant. There can be more people. God, your grace is the thing that can do it. I'm going to read the last one here. I hear and my body trembles. Wait, did I push the right? Yes, okay. I hear my body trembles, my lips quiver at the sound, rottenness enters into my bones, my legs tremble beneath me, yet I quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. God, I got no grievances. I got none. Your ways are perfect. Your plans are perfect. Now he's going to say, even though the curse is coming, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places to the choir master with stringed instruments. Make it a song. Make it a good song for us that we might sing how great is our God. Here's some questions. If you want to discuss this, you should research a little bit in this for fruitful discussion and enjoy the small groups together. You can snap some pictures there. Let me close in prayer, and then I'll take a few questions, and then we'll sing a closing song, and we're on our way. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this short prophecy by a man that we'll never know until, or understand, or have details about until we reach glory and meet him face to face. Lord, we thank you for another teaching and revelation of Scripture that helps us to align ourselves when we believe that we could do things a little bit different and a little bit better way. We know God better than to stay in that path, to hold that mindset. God, you have all the wisdom. You have all the power. You have all the might. Your ways are perfect. Your love is infinite. And God, I pray we might rest peacefully in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Any questions? We're not really that late. Angie.
I really appreciated your reminder that if we're watching the news and we're tempted to say, God, I'd like to give you a piece of advice, or could you consult with me? This isn't the kind of news that I want for my country or my nation. Just one small example. I think of the ICE reports. I don't know what's true. I don't know what to believe. It's very concerning. And I appreciate your reminder that that's not my position. So, Dan, I'm hoping that as a Christian, with this hope in my heart, I can watch a few minutes of the news, and I can remember that God is in control. He has a plan. It will work out. Justice will be done. It's a wonderful hope.
Yeah, it's true. I was as we were studying in Sunday school, I thought, like, Dan, we didn't talk about this, so what's going on here? No questions? Okay. I thought maybe somebody would want to say, like, could you tell me, what's going on in the news? When is the Antichrist going to make his step onto the world stage? And I would give you the exact dates and everything and when Jesus is coming back. Except that I didn't bring my plaid suit, so I'm sorry. You're just going to have to wait till next time. And I'll reveal to you all you want to know.
Thanks for listening to this message from Pastor Mark Leslie in Heritage Baptist Church. You can find us online at hbcashland.com. You can also find us on Facebook or YouTube. We encourage you to share this message with anyone that you feel might benefit from it. But we do ask that you not alter the content in any way. Again, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again next week.